There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action.
Buck Ballou here with some great news. Nobody knows the real estate market up 400 and around Lake Lanier than my friend Mickey Himes and the GetMickey.com team at Keller Williams. You see, experience matters. If you've got an interest in Lake Lanier property or up 400 properties, go to GetMickey.com, click, and talk with an expert right now. Or call 678-341-7474. Mickey Himes is the man in the Lake Lanier real estate market. This is Buck Ballou. You can trust this dog and the entire GetMickey.com team.
An ambassador for the dogs and broadcasting live from Truist Park every day.
All day, every day.
It's time for Buck's Beat with Buck Ballou.
Welcome back to Buck's Beat. This is episode 20, and I will be diving into the Georgia Bulldog passing game, their number one weapon, the beast at tight end Darnell Washington. Plus, longtime friend, former LSU and Saints quarterback, John 4K joins me to break down the LSU quarterback competition, Ole Miss quarterback Matt Corral, and the Saints situation at quarterback without Drew Brees. 4K can be heard on ESPN New Orleans 100.3. And Bucks Beat is sponsored by Mickey Himes and the GetMickey.com team at Keller Williams, experts in the Lake Lanier market, and with homes up 400. Call 678-341-7474 or go to GetMickey.com and speak with an expert on Lake Lanier properties right now. Buyers hire Mickey. Sellers hire Mickey. Passion and experience matter. How do I know so much about Mickey Himes? Well, he's a friend. I'm excited about my quarterback camp coming up June 26th in Lilburn. Georgia Tech legend Joe Hamilton, former Georgia quarterback Hudson Mason, and former Atlanta Falcons receiver Brian Finneran and I will be working with high school quarterbacks, receivers, tight ends, and running backs, teaching the passing game. The camp is free, no cost, thanks to our flagship sponsor, Infinity of Gwinnett. Thank you, Steve Kendrick. You and your staff are nothing short of awesome. So if you know a high school quarterback or receiver who wants to improve, please get them registered quick right now at 680thefan.com/quarterback camp. Now to the Georgia Bulldogs. Another day closer to the showdown with the Clemson Tigers. This is a game Georgia needs to win. Sure, they could run the table after an opening game loss and still make the playoffs. I understand that part of the deal. But for the narrative on UGA to change, the Bulldogs need to beat Clemson to be taken seriously. Nationally, I'm talking about. And make a note, Georgia still needs a win over Alabama to be taken seriously on the national stage. So that big challenge awaits the Dogs perhaps at the end of the season. For the first time in years, the Bulldogs receiving core looks deep and talented, even without George Pickens. Eric Gilbert is now a Bulldog. Plug and play the big fella at X-wide receiver. Kyaris Jackson and Arian Smith are playmakers, lining up in that slot receiver spot. Really excited about these two guys. Jermaine Burton flashed last season, and I expect to see a better version of Jermaine Burton in year number two. He is polished, and he is versatile, and I like him at that Z-wide receiver spot. James Cook is a dangerous playmaker at running back and should be targeted in the Bulldogs' passing game. Get the man in space and get him the ball. I just named five big-time weapons for JT Daniels, and now here comes the beast, Darnell Washington, number zero, the sophomore tight end, 6'8" in cleats, 280 pounds in pads, and he runs a sub-4.5 40. He's athletic, he's fit, and he's ready to break out in year number two. Get ready for the second-year breakout with this guy. It all makes sense. at least to me. Kirby Smart has taken the handcuffs off this passing game. He trusts JT Daniels' decision-making, and he's ready to lead with the passing game in 2021. And this is a smart move. The ball should be in the air 40 times a game. I think I've said that on previous podcasts. Kirby has often said he wants the ball going to playmakers in space. And I've got playmaker number one being Darnell Washington. He looks like one of the biggest mismatch advantages in college football this season. What are my expectations for Darnell Washington? 10 targets a game. 5 catches minimum per game, which would project out to 60 catches on the season. He's a nightmare on 50-50 balls down the field and a big problem in the red zone. I expect to see Darnell Washington lined up next to the tackle, flexed away from the tackle, lined up at the X wide receiver spot, in the slot, split out wide on the single wide receiver side, lined up in front of a bunched wide receiver formation. Is that asking too much? Well, no. We've already seen Coach Monken do this. If you watch closely in the G-Day scrimmage, you saw Monken moving around Darnell Washington. This guy's a beast. And I'd bet that right now Coach Monken's play sheet has 15 to 20 plays that target Big Zero. I'd also bet that Clemson defensive coordinator Brent Venables is also losing sleep this summer, worrying about matching up with Darnell Washington. 6'8", 280 versus 5'10", 175. And that's the average for a defensive back. Say it with me, mismatch advantage. By the way, Georgia's had some great tight ends through the years. My top 10 in no particular order, Orson Charles, Martrez Milner, Leonard Pope, Randy McMichael, Shannon Mitchell, Kurt Warner, Troy Sadowski, Clarence Kay, Norris Brown, and the great Richard Appleby. Gentlemen, start making room for Big Zero. Darnell Washington is about to break into the top 10 at Georgia, and I can't wait to see it happen. Joining me now is former competitor, longtime friend, John Forcade, former Ole Miss Rebel and New Orleans Saints quarterback, and currently John can be heard on ESPN New Orleans 100.3.
Bucks beat.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
John, great having you on talking college football. What do you say we get right to work and talk about the SEC West? I'm interested in that LSU quarterback situation. John, you're close to Coach O and what these guys have got going on down there. Is it going to be Miles Brennan or Max Johnson at quarterback?
Well, I'm thinking it's going to start out as Miles Brennan because he went down with an injury last year, and that's how the other guys got to play. So I think what's going to happen here, Buck, is that you'll see Miles Brennan start out the fall practice, and then if he doesn't produce or doesn't do anything well enough in the fall practice before the season begins, then you can have Max Johnson come on board because Max played very well at the end of the season. But I think it's Miles Brennan's job to lose.
Yeah, and Brennan, were you impressed when you saw him early last season play?
Well, it's kind of funny because I did two of his high school games against two New Orleans local teams, and he didn't fare very well, and then he didn't play very well at senior season when he went to the playoff game. He's one and done. And then we got the Ole Miss. He was I mean, excuse me, to LSU, he was like a broomstick with teeth. And I'm like, this kid can't throw very well. He's not going to do the job for LSU. Well, all of a sudden, I saw him develop into something that I think LSU can look at and say, wait a minute, if Joe Burrow can do the job, maybe this kid, well, he's put on about 40 pounds and looks like 20 of it's muscle. He's gotten bigger. I don't know how he is, you know, far as throwing the football from a standpoint of that getting much bigger. But he had a pretty decent spring football this past season. Now, I think if he can just stay healthy, and that's the key, stay healthy. LSU's got the weapons. There's no doubt about it. They're going to get the players to come there. If Miles Brennan can stay healthy, I think he's got the attributes. He's got the size. He threw the ball well in high school. He threw the ball well in spring ball. It's all about him staying healthy.
You know, I remember Coach O saying when Burrow left, when his eligibility was up off that national title season, Coach O said, we got us another championship quarterback. And he was talking about Miles Brennan. So I'm anxious to see how this shakes out down at Baton Rouge. What about T.J. Finley? So he played for the Tigers a year ago, and now he's transferred to play at Auburn. And they've convinced him he can come in and beat out Bo Nix for this job, who's played 2 years there at Auburn. Tell us about T.J. Finley, and does he have a shot to beat out Bo Nix at Auburn?
Well, I'll say this much. I know his high school coach very well. I've known the man for 30, 40 years. And I'll say this. Coming out of high school, everybody's saying T.J. Finley needs to play offensive line or tight end. He's no quarterback. And this even came from his coach's mouth that he's not going to be a college quarterback. Okay, he did okay when he got to college. He was all right. He's a big kid. He's huge now, and that's the big thing with him. He's huge. Doesn't quite have the accuracy to be, I think, an SEC quarterback. He got a cannon. But remember LSU's quarterback in a long time ago who was a big kid, had a cannon, ate himself out of the NFL. Not saying this kid could be that way. I don't see him going to Auburn and beating up Bo Nix. Bo Nix never had a chance at Auburn because of that funky-looking offense they were trying to run with Gus Malzahn.
Right.
I don't think T.J. Finley can go to an SEC-caliber team and be a starting quarterback. That's my beliefs, and it's also a lot of people here believe the same thing. They all thought here he might switch over to tight end, and that would have been suited for him. But he wants that quarterback. I don't know what Auburn told him, but I don't see him beating out Nix.
Yeah, Auburn, certainly, their quarterback room was basically empty. They've had nobody to compete with Bo Nix. So with Mike Bobo stepping in for Harsin as the new Auburn offensive coordinator, they were looking for somebody to come in and compete, maybe push Bo Nix a little bit.
Well, that's obviously, you know as well as I do. You know, hell, I went to Ole Miss, had seven quarterbacks on the list. You know, at Georgia, you probably had that many guys on the list when you got there. But you know you had to have – you got to at least have four kids go to camp. We all know that. You usually have four. Three of them are probably good enough to start for you or supposedly start for you. And if Auburn doesn't have the numbers, they need the numbers. And now bring this guy in who's got a little experience. He played five or six games in the SEC. He'll be able to have 4 years at Auburn when he comes there now because of this COVID issue that they're giving him an extra year. I still think he'll be backing up Nix, and if Nix goes down, the kid plays. But other than that, I think it's Nix is to it's his team, and if something happens to him, and then you got to look at another quarterback. But you got to have at least four to go to camp.
John, does Ole Miss have the best quarterback in college football in Matt Corral?
I don't know, Buck, if he's the best. I'll say this. He's definitely that roller coaster. I've seen him throw four beautiful picks to the Arkansas Razorbacks, four or five. I know that much. I was hoping he'd throw one more to break my record so he can, you know, get more picks than I have in the game. But look, the kid's got the ability to do something in that offense. Now, as far as being the best in the country or being the best in the SEC, I think he definitely is the best right now in the SEC. I don't know what Alabama's going to have with their quarterback situation, but if he can play under control, and I mean, just don't throw the ball forces in there because that's the offense that Lane Kiffin runs. You know, they're going to throw the football. They're going to try to make the plays, try to make the throws. The kid can run. The kid can throw. And I enjoy watching. Not 2 years ago, I was like, what does this kid bring to the table? But last season, I think he progressed a lot. I think he's going to be the real deal there. Now, I don't know what lies the future for the young man. He has to be able to control. He's got a big time emotion in him that he just gets all up into it. But hey, he played well enough last season. Let's just see what happens this year.
Do you look at Texas A&M being a legitimate contender to Alabama in the West this year? Seems like they're loaded at every spot. The only question mark is quarterback. And, you know, Jimbo's got that reputation for being the quarterback whisperer.
Well, how many times you've heard that before? Other coaches, quarterback whisper, this and that, and nothing pans out. Listen, and I'm going to say this. A&M's always had players there. They're going to be competitive. They're going to compete in the SEC West and maybe, you know, the top seven or eight teams in the country. Without a decent quarterback or the guy calling the right plays, that's the key to it, calling the right plays for wherever quarterback. Who would not want to go to Texas A&M with the talent they have there? Nobody to compete with in Texas, the only SEC team basically around that area. You should be able to get anybody you want, but they're not getting over the hump. They're not going to compete against the Alabamas unless they can show it against the smaller teams or the less fortunate teams. They have to beat them as well. Being in the West, Buck, you know as well, being in the West, LSU, Auburn, Alabama, and A&M, that's no cakewalk. And so you got to get through that gauntlet before you can say I'm the best. But if he can get the players and get a quarterback, I think A&M, with the talent they have around, can compete in the West.
Yeah, and right now it's looking like sophomore Haynes King, who played for his dad, I think, in Texas, won a state high school championship there. So they're obviously hoping he will emerge as the guy. What was your first impression watching JT Daniels play for Georgia a year ago?
Well, my question is, since you've been around the Georgia Bulldogs, why wasn't the kid playing before when he got to be when he started to play? I liked what I saw of him after he was playing for a while. Something wasn't there offensively, and this young man came in and did some things for them offensively. I think he's going to be, if he stays healthy, you know, that's the big if. But I like what I saw of him. I didn't like what I saw of him when he was at USC, but I do like what I see of him at Georgia because I think he's suited for this style of play with having good defensive and caliber of players and caliber of teams each week in and week out. So if JT can stay healthy, I think the Georgia Bulldogs are going to be a team to beat, the team to watch to beat Alabama if it comes down to that.
All right, let's flip this thing to the NFL. We got to know a lot of people here listening to the podcast in Metro Atlanta following the Falcons. They want to know about the Saints quarterback position situation. How does Sean Payton, how does this thing play out in New Orleans for the Saints without Drew Brees?
Well, if you think it's the people in Atlanta are worried about one another quarterback situation, try to be here right now and figure this out. On paper, now, and when I say on paper, I'm not talking about the talent. I'm talking about on paper, dollars and cents-wise, they're going to go with Winston. They're going to go with Winston because of his 5 years' experience of playing the NFL. They're going to go with Winston because he does bring a lot to the table throwing the football. Now, he's not going to be Hill running around and doing things of that nature. But Hill is classified here as a backup in my book, as well as a switch Army knife. And they can't really have him playing quarterback if they don't want to use him in the other stuff. So if he's going to be the quarterback, then they have to use him as the quarterback, and they lose out with him and other stuff. Well, you have Winston here. I think Jameis Winston will get the shot, even though Drew Brees is no longer in the picture. We all knew that when he retired. They're going to give this young man a chance. Look, this is the three things I said. One is he's got a better coach here than he ever had in Tampa Bay. Two is he's out of Florida where he was, you know, raised and went to school and all the problems he had there. And three is he's got one heck of a football club here than he used to have in Tampa. So those three things going for him, all Sean Payton telling him to do is don't win the game for us. Don't lose the game for us. Just manage the game. He better learn how to be a manager. They will not throw, you know, 15, 20 deep balls a game. You know, he'll throw his 4 or 5 maybe, and they're not going to expect him to throw 5,000 yards. And if Winston can come in here, Buck, and just do what they're asking, Sean Payton asking to do, they're going to be just fine. And if it doesn't go well, listen, they also got Hill, but they also got the Simmons kid. Remember, he used to start for Denver Broncos. He was with a couple other teams in the NFL. He's done very well here so far in the minicamp. So I think it's Winston's job, and we'll see what happens.
John Forcade, it's time for the Big Three.
Let's roll out the Big Three.
All right, question number one. What do Saints fans think about not having to face Julio Jones anymore?
If you look at the record, the last few times they played, Julio wasn't even in existence against the New Orleans Saints. People down here they ain't worried about it. What the DBs they had here, Julio's a no-show. Come on, you go look at the stats in the last 3 or 4 games. He was a no-show. But they prefer him being somewhere else, I guarantee that.
All right, number two. And I know it's early, but play along with me here. Where will Arch Manning eventually end up going to school? LSU?
You know what? That's a million-dollar question here. Somehow, some way, I think they would love to see him here locally. But, man, I could see him in Alabama. I could definitely see him in Texas. So that's what I'm thinking, Alabama or Texas.
Yeah, I saw him wearing that Texas uniform on that visit this past weekend. He's already been to Clemson. It seems like you guys, all you quarterbacks that come out of New Orleans, rarely do you we see you guys going to LSU. Why is that?
Well, they pay better in other schools than LSU does.
All right, number three is a little outside the box. All right,
gotcha, okay.
So get ready for this one.
Look, go ahead.
If you had to do it over again, would you still choose the same college? This is a generic question, but to Ole Miss.
Right. If I had to do it all over again, and I would probably, where I really wanted to go was Alabama, and they told me I wasn't going to play until I was a junior. Then that's my next best one. I was going to LSU, and McClendon said the same thing. I wasn't going to play until a junior. Steve Sloan came in and said, how about you play as a freshman? If I had to really do it over again, I'd probably stay close to home. Or the situation is different, though. You got Alabama now, and you got LSU now. They play for national titles. It's easier to pick those than pick a school that's suspect. And Alabama was doing very well back then. LSU wasn't doing very well back then. And Ole Miss was up and coming and new coach. But I would say on record, if I had to go over again and do it, I'd probably go to Alabama.
John, you did some great things at Ole Miss, though. This was probably the most exciting time for you was getting a start for the New Orleans Saints as a kid growing up in the New Orleans area. Wasn't that the biggest thrill for you in your playing career?
Oh, yes, indeed, Buck. You know doggone well. Anybody can go back home and play for their hometown team and be right there in the city and get the people around you that know it. But it gave me the opportunity, and I got a chance to play, got a chance to start for a few years here. It was exciting, and nobody can ever take that from you. And then just the things that came along with it. And I mean, I still now you walk around and people are, I'm 60 years old and still right now talking about back in the day and this, that, and the other. And so it's a lot of fun, and it worked out really well for me. And I wish it had been early when I got there, and I wish I'd have stayed longer. But look, 5 years is five good years I played with the Saints.
How about radio in New Orleans? You're doing a lot of that these days. How's that working out? What's the number one topic these days?
Well, right now, these days, the number one topic is definitely, the Winston, the Saints at training camp. That's what they most worry about, because it's that time of the year when the season ends, we get that little lapse of time there. Nobody's talking much about the Pelicans. A little bit of college football, but basically it's all NFL, and it's everything you can think of in the NFL. What's the record going to be? How many wins they're going to have? Who are they playing against? Who's going to be the quarterback? Can they get in the salary cap? That's a lot of stuff to talk about. For 3 hours a day, but it's definitely rewarding down here because it's always 24/7 New Orleans Saints.
Former Ole Miss Rebel and New Orleans Saints quarterback John Forkay. John, thanks for dropping some knowledge on Bucks Beat today.
You're welcome, Buck. Always a pleasure, my friend. Talk to you soon.
Bucks Beat.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over 1 million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Roughly, we're 80 days from the college football season kicking off and the Georgia-Clemson showdown taking place in Charlotte. Man, that's going to be epic. Can't wait to see it. I know you are, too. Really excited about the matchup. A lot of focus and talk about personnel coming into the game, but I wanted to quickly touch on a premier coaching matchup in this showdown. Georgia offensive coordinator Todd Monken versus Clemson defensive coordinator Brent Venables. Tigers offensive coordinator Tony Elliott calls Venables, and I quote, a football genius who throws a lot of unexpected looks at the offenses out there, exotic blitzes, third down blitz packages, post-snap change-ups. Also, you'll see Venables, he'll wait to the very last second on the sideline to see what that offense is doing, what personnel group they've got out there, how they're going to line up, and then he'll make that call at the very last second. Todd Monken obviously runs a pro-style spread scheme. He's a disciple of that, and he features a lot of these two tight end 12 personnel groupings, which I believe continues to balance out defenses out there and should be able to help protect JT Daniels. So I'd look for that personnel group of 12 with the two tight ends to be on the field some in the season opening game. Expect to see Todd Monken use tempo also in the game against Clemson, trying to offset all those different unexpected looks that Venables throws at the offense. Look for a hurry-up or up-tempo style out of Georgia in this game. Big key for the Bulldogs on offense versus Clemson's defense with Venables calling the shots is to limit negative plays, especially on first and second down. Got to stay out of that third and long situation against this Clemson defense. This is an awesome coaching matchup, Monken versus Venables. And I bet right now these two coaches at this very moment are scheming up against the other one right now. All right, that's going to do it for Bucks Beat Episode 20. Want to thank you for listening and hanging out. And remember, always to like and subscribe. We appreciate it. Back next week with Bucks Beat.
Subscribe to Bucks Beat and get the latest updates every week from the most connected guys in Georgia sports. Follow Buck at BuckBaloo8 on Twitter and check out all the fan podcasts at thepodcastpark.com.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.